Well, today, as we come to the close of our series on Breathing Room, we've talked about some simple practices to help free us from this pace of life that we've been talking about and to create some breathing room where we can meet with God and receive from Him and be restored in Him. I need to tell you, because we've covered a lot over the last several weeks, every pastor's greatest fear is our messages not having an impact. You know, we work hard, we pray, we study, we prepare, we practice, and there's always a fear of, I'm going to share this message that has meant so much to me, and it's just not going to land. It's not going to have any impact on anyone. That's every pastor's greatest fear. Our secondary fear is that our messages will have an initial impact, but then they're going to be forgotten. And this is just a fact of life, right? Because life takes over. When we learn something new and learn a new lesson or take on a new habit, a new practice or skill, over time, if we don't follow through with it in a disciplined way, it kind of fades away from us. You know this if you've ever used a diet program or an exercise program, right? We jump in and we're excited. We're going to change the world. It's going to be great. It's going to change my life. And then we start off really well, and then within a couple of weeks, it kind of fades off, and we slip back into our old unhealthy patterns. This happens all the time. We're almost at the end of March. How are those New Year's resolutions working out so far? So I thought it might be helpful today for us to identify what are some warning signs, what are some red flags that we notice about ourselves that help us to recognize we're starting to slip back into some old and unhealthy patterns. So just for yourself, think for a couple moments. What are some things you notice in yourself, some things that you notice happening that are warning signs to you, either that, number one, I'm kind of growing distant from God. I'm kind of drifting away spiritually. Maybe the busyness of life has caused me to push Him aside. Or maybe warning signs that the stress of everyday life is just way too much and it's overwhelming for you. What are some things you notice happening to you that could become warning signs, red flags that tell you, okay, I'm getting off track here? Give some thought to that. And let me just share a couple of examples. One example might be for some people, it's kind of, we talked about this earlier, you get an email or a text or a phone call requesting for help from somebody. And as soon as you get that alert, somebody's trying to get in contact with you, you just kind of flinch and you're like, you're terrified to look at it because you know it's going to be more demands on your time. That could be a warning sign that you're overwhelmed already. For some people, I know for me, it's that short fuse where the slightest little thing just causes you to lose your temper and say things and do things you shouldn't say and shouldn't do. And you lose your temper at the slightest little thing because there's so much stuff that is piled up and it's just the smallest details become overwhelming for you. That could be a warning sign. Maybe our lack of ability to engage in meaningful relationships. We pull away from people that we should be getting closer to. And we pull away because I can't invest the emotional energy right now, or I don't have the time to grow deeper in this relationship with this person. That could be a warning sign to us. Things like too much sugar, too much caffeine, comfort foods, too much alcohol. When we find ourselves depending on those things for comfort and for rest, those could be warning signs too, that we're starting to run on fumes again, or that we're starting to pull away from God. So I think it's helpful for us to notice those warning signs and when they pop up to pay attention to them so we can do something about it. And let's be honest, this world we live in is the perfect storm for all of that, isn't it? We live in a society that seems like it's custom designed to keep us from having a meaningful relationship with God, to keep us from having breathing room in our lives. I think that's why Solomon gives us this warning in Proverbs 4:23. He says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Guard your heart above all else. Think of the things that we protect, the things we guard. We guard our information online, right? We spend money for security systems on our computers or our online data. We password protect everything. We have security systems for our homes and for our cars. We lock things up. We guard and we protect those things that are valuable to us. How much are we investing in guarding our hearts? Solomon says that's really important. It's really important for us to pay attention to our internal health, our spiritual health, because he says that determines the course of your life. The health of your heart, the health of your spiritual well-being, it determines the course of your life. It determines our decisions, our emotions, our priorities, our thought life, our values, our reactions to things, our relationship, our connection with God. All of that stuff is determined not by what's happening around us, but by what's happening inside of us. And that's why this series is so important. We've been talking about ways we can guard our hearts. So by way of review, here's some of what we've talked about over the last several weeks. We talked about choosing, making the decision to recognize that Jesus is in the room with us. And we looked at the story of Mary and Martha and how Jesus was there in the house, and Martha was overwhelmed and distracted by all the busyness, all the stuff that she was doing and working on. And she was so focused on that, she was distracted from spending time with Jesus. And Jesus corrected her, not for working, not for doing things, but for allowing those things to rob her of that opportunity, allowing those things to become her focus. And we looked at how Jesus said, Mary has chosen what is best. And what Mary chose was to take a step back from all of that and just to sit in his presence, to be with him and to listen to him. And we can make the same choice. The next week, we expanded on that and made it more practical. And we talked about pausing, taking time every day for just 60 seconds at a time to reconnect with God, to recognize his presence with us in the middle of the day, to give over to him those things that are life-draining, and to receive from him those things that are life-giving. We talked about the Pause app, and I know several of you have been using that, and it's a great tool just for taking a step back, just for pausing a few times throughout the day to reconnect with God. And then we talked about unplugging. And one of the things I said over and over again is that technology is a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. And we talked about how it's so important for us to make sure we're not being controlled by our technology, because much of the time, that is exactly what happens. And so we talked about some very simple, very practical steps we can all take to make sure that our phones and our devices are not getting in the way of our relationship with God. Then we talked about detaching. We looked at Hebrews 12, where the writer talks about how we're running a race. And he says, we're in this race, but he says, there are things that are weighing you down. There are things that are getting in your way. And he says, you have to cast those aside. You have to throw them aside. And that's so important, because all of us, we do this. We carry more than God ever intended us to carry. We take on to ourselves far more than we're designed to handle. And so the writer of Hebrews says, those things are getting in the way. You've got to throw them aside. And we compared that with 1 Peter, where Peter says, cast your cares onto him because he cares for you. And I encouraged us that week to look at prayer, not just as us going to God and informing him of our problems, but to look at prayer as a release, where we are going to God and not just telling him about our problems, but handing them off to him and saying, God, I can't carry this. This is not something I'm designed to handle. I'm placing this in your hands, detaching from our problems because we're entrusting them into the hands of a loving Father. The first week we were closed, we talked about listening. And we looked at the parable of the soils, and there are two really important things I said we need to recognize from that parable. The first one is that God is speaking to us. God loves to communicate. God speaks to us. And whatever you're going through, whatever busyness and stress you're going through, God has something to say to you in the middle of that. It's important for us to understand that. But it's also important for us to understand the second thing is that we get to choose what we're going to do with that. Because three of the four soils Jesus talked about did not receive the word that was spoken. Three of them rejected it. Three of them, it had no impact. The seed was planted, but it had no impact because other things got in the way and they allowed that to happen. And so we get to choose what we're going to do when God speaks to us. We can be like that fourth soil. And Jesus said that fourth soil represents those people who not only hear the word, but they own it. They receive that message. They choose to give it a place in their lives. And we can do that too, because God's word to us is life-giving. The second week we were closed, we talked about the importance of getting out, of noticing God's presence in his creation. See, God reveals so much of his character to us through his creation. God speaks to us through his creation. The Bible says this over and over again, and yet statistics tell us that the average American throughout our lifetime, we spend less than 10% of our lives outside. And so we're missing out on a lot of what God wants to say to us and what God wants to teach us. And so that weekend, we were encouraged to spend some time outside, intentionally recognizing God's presence in his creation. But not just being outside, choosing to stop and to notice and to receive the beauty of God's creation, to receive that as a gift from the hand of a loving Father. James tells us every good and perfect gift comes from God. And then last week, we talked about impact, recognizing that breathing room is not about escapism. It's about preparation, because God has a calling on your life and God has a calling on my life. And just as Jesus called the disciples, it says that he called them to do two things: to be with him, and then that he could send them out to teach and to preach and drive out demons and heal the sick. All of the ministries they saw him do, Jesus called them to those two things: to be with him and then to go out and to reach others. And he has the same calling on our lives. Breathing room, time with him, and then impact, going out and touching the lives of others. And just as Jesus said to his disciples, freely you have received, now go and freely give, he says the same thing to us. So that's a brief summary of what we've talked about over the last several weeks. So here's my encouragement today. It's very simple, and it comes from Philippians 4:9. Paul says, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. That's it. Keep putting into practice the things we've talked about over these last several weeks. Keep putting into practice those things that you've found helpful. I've had conversations with so many of you who have said, yeah, I was using the Pause app and it was so helpful to me, and I've done some of those things and they were really helpful, but then I kind of stopped doing it. And I get that, right? Because life is busy and sometimes life just takes over and we have one busy day, and so we put aside this new stuff that we started doing and we say, I'll get back to it tomorrow, but then tomorrow comes and that's busy too and we didn't prioritize, and so those things kind of fall by the wayside and we end up slipping back into those old habits. I get that. So today, my encouragement is, wherever you are with all of that, pick it back up again and start again practicing those things, or keep on practicing those things that you have found helpful in protecting your heart, guarding your heart, and bringing you into a deeper awareness of the presence of God in your life. See, I think that's hard for us because we get tired of the everyday disciplines, the everyday stuff. There's something inside of us that wishes something dramatic would happen that would just kind of flip a switch, right? That we would have one of these amazing, massive, life-changing encounters with God where there's flashes of light and bolts of thunder and it just turns everything around in our lives. And those are awesome when they happen, but the truth is, our spiritual health is largely determined not by dramatic events, but by everyday decisions. If you want to guard your heart, and if you want to go deeper in your walk with Christ, it's going to happen through daily practices, daily decisions. And so Moses, he's walking around in the desert one day, and he sees a bush on fire. Not that unusual in that dry and hot climate to see scrub brush that's caught on fire, but this one was a little different because it was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed by the fire. But the big moment for Moses was when the scripture says he turned aside. He turned aside from what he was doing and went over to get a closer look. And when he did that, he met God. And God spoke to him and said, Moses, this place where you're standing, this is holy ground. That's amazing. He's in the middle of the desert. There's nothing but sand and scrub brush and hot sun, but God met him there. God was there in that place. And Jacob awakes from a dream one night. And he says, God was here. He wakes up and he had this dream that God spoke to him. And he wakes up and he says, this place where I've been for several hours, I didn't even know it, but God is right here in this place. And years later after that, some guys are out fishing one day. They're at work. They're just doing their jobs. And a 30-year-old carpenter comes walking by and says, hey, guys, come on, follow me. And they did. They left it all behind, and because they did, they became part of a movement that turned the world upside down and continues to transform lives to this day. See, those are just a few encounters that people in Scripture had with God. There are countless others, but none of them in and of themselves is all that dramatic. Some scrub brush in the desert, a dream in the middle of nowhere one night. Some guys fishing at work one day and a carpenter walks by. These are simple occasions in everyday life that could have been very easily missed. And my point is this, every day is an opportunity for you and for me to come face to face with the living God. Because in the ordinariness of our everyday lives, He invites us to step away from the busyness, to set aside the distractions, all of the irritations, to take a break from those and just to notice Him. And just like Mary, to just sit with Him, to listen to His voice and to just be with Him. See, every day you and I have a choice, just like Moses did, to just keep on walking or to turn aside and say, I think God's up to something here. God, what do you have to say to me? What are you doing here? Or we have a choice like Jacob to wake up from a God-inspired dream and to jump into the busyness of the day and to completely miss the fact that God was speaking to us, or to just pause and to say, God, I recognize your presence here. I'm not just going to rush away from this. I'm just going to sit here with you. God, you have my attention. Or we have a choice, just like the disciples, to just keep fishing. Just keep doing our job. Just continue with the routine of everyday life. Or to stop and to say, wait a minute, I think I hear the voice of Jesus calling to me. And He's telling me that He wants me to be a world changer. Or every day we have a choice, just like Mary and Martha, to stay immersed in the busyness and the stress of all the stuff that absolutely has to get done right this second. Or to do what Mary did, to choose to step away from that and say, I'm not going to do that. Jesus is right here in the room, and I am not going to let this opportunity go by. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received. Keep putting it into practice, because God is waiting in the simple daily practices to meet with you. Whether you're just walking around outside like Moses, or maybe it's in a dream in the middle of the night, or it's while you're at your job, or it's while you're in your home, keep putting into practice those simple everyday things that awaken you to the presence of Christ with you in those places and in those times, because the health of our soul, the health of our walk with Christ depends on the decisions we make every single day. There's a great example of this in the Old Testament. God delivered the nation of Israel from hundreds of years of slavery in Egypt in a pretty dramatic way. Deuteronomy 26:8 says, "The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand and a powerful arm, with overwhelming terror and with miraculous signs and wonders." God did some amazing things to bring them out of Egypt. And as a nation, they walk across the dry floor of the Red Sea into the Sinai Desert, into a place where there was no measurable annual rainfall. That was the path they had to take to get to the Promised Land. And within a very short period of time, they're going to either die of dehydration or starvation, because it's just this barren wilderness. And so God provides for them in several miraculous ways. And one of the ways God provided for them was with something called manna, which literally means, what is it? Every morning they would wake up and there was this white flaky substance covering the ground. And they would gather it up and make it into bread. God provided miraculously bread for them every day for 40 years. Amazing. But there was something unique about this beyond that. What was unique about it was that they could only gather up what they could use for that day. So every day they had to go out and gather up what they needed for that day. If somebody went out and said, you know, God provided this miraculously today, but I'm not sure if he's going to come through tomorrow, so I'm going to get some extra and store it up in the tent just in case. If anybody did that, what happened was it would get moldy and smelly and filled with worms, and it was completely unusable. So they couldn't store it up. They couldn't hoard it. They had to only gather what they needed for that day. Now, that's hard for us to relate to because we don't get just what we need for today. We get far more than we need, right? We store stuff up. Think about it. We live in a country where we have so much stuff, we have to buy boxes and bins to store our extra stuff in. And we have so many of those, most people I know can't even park their cars in garages because their garages are filled with boxes and bins of all this stuff. And so we rent storage units to put all the stuff in that we have no room for. Is it any wonder why we struggle to depend on God? We have more than enough. We hoard everything. But in this instance, God provides this amazing lesson in his miracle of providing manna, just enough for the day, for 40 years. You ever wonder why did God arrange it that way? Why didn't God arrange it so that they could gather up enough for the whole week or the whole month? Why did they have to go back out every single day? I think God did it that way so that they would learn, and so we would learn by their example, the simple truth. No matter how much of God we've been able to experience, yesterday's encounter with God is not enough for today. We need to meet with him and experience his presence and receive his life again today. And tomorrow, you'll need to meet with him again and experience his presence and receive his life again tomorrow. And the day after that, and the day after that, think about it. Just like we need to eat every day, we need to experience God every day. That's why this American version of Christianity we have, where we attend church occasionally, when it fits our schedule, when there's nothing else going on, it's not enough. It's why just reading the Bible occasionally, when I have a few spare moments, or praying just every now and then when it comes to mind, it's not enough. Think about it. We need to sleep again every single night. We need to drink water every day. We need to breathe oxygen every single morning. Your life and my life, it's a beautifully dependent existence. And all of that, our desperate need for food, for water, for sleep, for oxygen, all of that is a parable of our daily dependence on God. And so Jesus invites us in Matthew 6:11 to pray this way: give us this day our daily bread. Give us today what we need for today. Jesus taught us to pray, I'm not asking you, God, for what I need for the whole week or the whole month or the whole year. I'm coming to you right now, God, and asking you for what I need for today. And here's what that means. That means tomorrow I'm going to come to you again and talk with you again and depend on you again and ask you again for what I need for that day. Because God, I realize I can't just come to you once in a while. I need to depend on you every single day. Give us today our daily bread. But did we really think he was only talking about physical bread? In John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So give us today our daily bread. So today, we practice those things that bring us a greater awareness of God's presence, those things that invite him to breathe life into us. And then tomorrow, we practice those things that bring us a deeper awareness of God's presence, those things that invite him to breathe life into us. And the day after that, we practice those things that bring us a greater awareness of God's presence and invite him to breathe life into us every single day. Because no matter how much of God you encounter today, you'll need him again tomorrow. So look for him in the everyday stuff of everyday life, because he's right there waiting to meet with you in your home or outside or at work or even in your sleep. Pray that God will reveal himself to you in the everyday stuff of your life. And keep your eyes open. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received as we've talked about this for the last few months.